The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
We're back, baby. So exciting.
Back where we belong.
It just feels so good.
Welcome along to The Real Pod. Welcome to Celebrity Treasure Island. None of this watered down fans versus favourites bullshit. This
None of these stinky normies, Jane. We don't want them.
No. We just have pure, unadulterated celebrity on the show.
Stars across the board.
And I love it. I love it. My name is Jane Yee. I'm joined by Alex Casey, Duncan in absentia. I can't even tell you why. But you know, that just happens sometimes, and that's okay. That's okay.
He just vanishes, and that's okay. So excited to talk about this.
He vanishes like the three sisters and the treasure that was never found. I really got in my head about that. I was like, how many women are on each team? Are we down on numbers on women? Are the three sisters going to be the three intruders that are bound to come? Because there are
this is what
sisters.
I thought. This is what I thought. We talked about how there's normally 21.
Yeah.
There's only 18 this time. I think you could be right. Have there ever been three sisters, famous sisters in New Zealand history?
The Sami sisters?
The top twins and one more?
What about, there's another one that I was thinking, well, I mean, there's the Jeffries sisters, that would be great.
Wow, from Shortland Street. Iconic. Tanya Maya, back from the dead.
What were they? Maya?
Oh no, she was the wife.
She was there, Jay was the wife.
Oh no, Tanya was the sister, Jay was the wife.
Jay was, Tanya, Maya, and then the
and
other,
Mum.
No, there was another girl. She was the blondie one. She hooked up with Chris Warner. We're really getting off piste here.
Oh, Libby.
Maybe it's the Jeffries sisters.
Yes, that's what it is. They should get you on this show, Jane. We keep saying it.
Are there only two Runga sisters or is there a third? I'm sure there's Pearl. Bo, Pearl and Beck Runga.
I mean, look.
I have four sisters, you know.
Well, that's too many. Can't work.
What's going to be funny is when there are no intruders and we've just gone down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. But look, we've shown how much we know, and that's the main thing.
It's a really good idea for the future if production needs some ideas.
Okay. Where are we going to start with this?
I feel like you've probably – my notes are all two words. Every line is just two words, like Lady Looters.
Okay, great. Ooh, Lady Looters. That's like that could be a new, like, ice road truckers.
It could. Also a good pub quiz name, because I know you're collecting them.
I am. Yeah. Well, should we just share our top line thoughts from the first week? I wrote down, like, I watched this on my own. I was smiling and laughing by myself on the couch. I think it has a really distinct vibe from previous seasons.
It's the same show in a different outfit or something. Like, there's something about it that's very, very familiar. You know, the music, all the kind of beats that it hits. But then it also feels, there's so many things that feel really different.
Completely. I mean, I think obviously the location does a lot of the work. But yeah. It's got such a good, like, goofy, wholesome, funny vibe that I really, really like. I don't know what the temperature is out there in mojo-less New Zealand. But I feel like maybe we are not in store for lots of drama and tension, and maybe that's kind of a good thing right now. I don't know. We've got the election coming. Like, maybe we just pick our battles. But I feel like people like having like Tama Iti there, who's just this incredible force, but also just like insanely cheeky chap.
This guy has absolutely made this first week for me. And I just Summer Easy alone, we have a lot to unpack and talk about. I was aware, I was a little different to you. I actually texted you, didn't I, when I was watching the first episode and said, I'm nearly done, ep one, and I haven't laughed out loud one time.
I was actually surprised by this. What about, like, Blair Strang freaking out about the toilets? That was hilarious. Everything Turia Schmidt-Pekke says is, for me, LOL.
Okay. I have an explanation, and I know that, I've watched three episodes now in total, and I absolutely lolled. It was a grieving. I think we were funnier than that, you know, which we definitely weren't in my season. I think it was just having to say goodbye and come to terms with the reality that my season is like, just in the trash can now.
Yeah, it's not the one we're talking
about. It's not the one we care about anymore.
I mean, look, it's vulnerable of you to share, Jane, and I appreciate it.
But there was also some kind of triggering moments. I saw some parallels in my trajectory with Matilda's. And there was kind of things of like, you know, I don't want to make it all about me. I know now what it feels like to stand in, you know, to have awkward conversations with teammates or stand in the elimination. I don't know what it feels like to have Jordan throwing water at you.
Vanderpump.
I don't know that. But there's many other moments that I was like, I totally understand why you're crying right now, even though you've only been there for a day. I totally get how tired you are, how hungry you are. I totally get it. And so there was like little triggering moments as well.
Yeah.
Got through the first episode and then I just was loving it again.
Good. So it's just like you've been through the looking glass, you've seen the other side. And it's harder for you to engage just as a punter.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask a question, Jane?
Yes, I hear.
When you were captain of your team,
oh no,
did you remember everybody's name in your team?
Yes. That was a shocker.
Oh,
right?
I felt sick for Matilda. It was so stressful. It was so awkward. The whispering, which is like, I've lost your name.
It is terrible. You know what? Because, you know, again, having being there, you're with these people for a few days ahead of going into the game.
Can I share with you some insider info?
You know, did they fill the promo afterwards?
No. Matilda was quite late to the publicity days. I think she must have been cramming in some beauty breaks for the Chemist Warehouse, getting those done before she arrived. And so there had been a solid day or so where she hadn't been there. So I met, and then, you know, you arrive, you have to do your interviews, you have to talk to idiots like me, you have to get your photo taken, you know, all this stuff. So, you know, not a defence. As the captain, you should probably learn everybody's names before the first challenge, but that could go some ways to explaining why.
She also, though, I think, in fairness, she said, I've lost your name. And I bet she did and had used his name prior to that point. But in a moment while the cameras are rolling and she just... Also, he's Damo. She's probably wanting to call him Damo.
It's really confusing. His name is Damo from IT.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, on our season, Katie called Jaden Curtis constantly. Only called him Curtis. And, you know, so I think there may have been some of that Shortland Street effect going on there. So not cool when you know it's going to be on the television. It's kind of your first challenge as a team and, yeah. That was super awkward.
Extremely, extremely awkward. I mean, the vibe between the two different teams is really interesting. So we've got Karaerea, which is led by Jordan Vanderpump, who is the world's most serious man. And once I saw him on screen, I started to remember our conversation on the plane down and thinking like, oh, this guy's actually going to be real intense. Like he is thinking hard. Too hard.
I think he might be the villain.
I suspect you might be right.
I mean, the water throwing thing was such hectic energy. I do think that the edit they gave him was that made it look like he was doing that a lot more than, like, I think he was still throwing water in the trough as well, but they just cut it so it looked like all he was doing was throwing water on the opposing team. That was super, super bizarre move that no one called him out on in his own team even, which I found weird. But he's so, so serious to the point of like, bro, like you got to check how you're going to come across on the television with this because this is not like the vibe at all.
He vibes like someone who read a lot of books about like leadership before coming to the island and just has like too much going on. That he's like he's jumped the gun, I think, like way too early coming in hot with all this stuff and doing that strategic move in the challenge. It's like we're in the first week, you know, give us some time to just have a bit of fun. And just seeing Tamaiti getting doused in water, I was like, I think this man should go to jail. I think he probably should.
That made me cross. Tamaiti is at once formidable and adorable.
Mm-hmm.
He has just brought such a beautiful energy to his team, which I think has made, like, they're the ragtag bunch of misfits who shouldn't be winning things. And I put it down to, you know, when they're getting their wins, I put it down to Tamaiti bringing just this mana to them. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing haka to intimidate the other team and build up his own team when they're in times of difficulty. He's saying yes to everything, performing karakia. Like, he just – and then just – effortlessly folding te reo in everywhere. And it's so, you know, we can talk about the fact that there's so much te reo this week in the show, and it feels they've handled it just beautifully. It just feels like a natural part of it, you know.
Totally. And I think a big part of that is also having, you know, Turia Schmidt-Pekke is also fluent and they are on the same team.
They're just straight up conversing, which is amazing.
And it feels, you know, I know the show has really made a concerted effort, especially in the last few seasons, to, you know, fold in not just te reo, but just te ao Māori in general, you know, acknowledging the iwi and the land. It feels so much more immediate and natural this season. I don't know whether that's because they've like gone to a new place and have made a bit more of an effort. I don't know. But it really feels, again, just one of those quietly groundbreaking things, which is coming out of our primetime show. When you've got two teammates on Celebrity Treasure Island having full conversations in te reo with subtitles, it's beautiful. It's amazing.
I think part of it, though, as well, is when, you know, I think previously a lot of the heavy lifting has been done by the hosts in terms of incorporating this stuff. But just the cuts to replies in te reo from our Māori cast members and their look of acknowledgement and understanding of what's being said and their appreciation of it feels at once unlike anything that we've seen before on this show or anything else. And also just really at home, like it did feel like a very natural fit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love it. I think it just showcases the beauty of the language as well, that, you know, you get all the boomers up and arms, you know, and it's like, how can you argue with this? Like, sit and watch CTI and you can see what this language, like how significant it is and what it, you know, what it can do for us.
Totally. And also that it's sort of like, it just arrives so casually and doesn't come in this crazy, like, revered, signposted way that's, like, pat us on the back at how much we're doing. Even, like, the fact that Turia kind of, like, is almost roasting Tamaiti for how much Waiata he's doing. Like, in that very first challenge when they were on the wall and she was like, I couldn't leave him hanging, so I just had to start singing.
I know.
Like, you know, it's such a good vibe. I really, really, I particularly love Tohora as a team.
Oh, they're great. I mean, they're definitely the team that I would want to be in were I there.
Compared to 0% body fat, Karaera.
No, I don't think I'd qualify, but I don't think I'd want to be in this place at all. It does seem like a very full-on contrast, as we sort of talked about in the teaser reaction, of beautiful, hot, 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 extremely cold, rainy, and the wind.
Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean about the wheat fields?
Yeah, no, you're right. They do look like wheat. I don't know what they are.
See how I got confused?
I do see how you got confused.
It's just that things are different in the South Island. Grass is not what you think.
No. I'm really concerned about the wind levels and the number of Topley Tower things, challenges that we've already had. I mean, the wind affected a building of a puzzle that was vertical.
It affected
the Grants elimination where they were building a tower,
mm-hmm.
and then there was Mel and Megan's elimination battle where they were building towers. As someone who's been affected by the most gentle of breezes and building a flimsy tower in an elimination arena, I was just like, this is fucked. Like, there's no way this is fair. This is the elements are definitely playing a role in who goes and who stays here.
Totally. And when they had to get, even when they had to build that big puzzle, one of them had to get up on the table to actually hold the puzzle. It's actually starting to change the entire nature of the challenges.
And especially, like, as soon as they let go to throw the sandbags at it, it's like the puzzle just toppled anyway.
Yeah.
Because of the wind.
Yeah, yeah. And it is, you know, I was going on about the stillness of the lake, but watching this back and also writing my set visit piece, which we'll be out on the spin-off now, actually. I remembered how choppy that lake is as well. Yeah. Like, it's not just a chill kind of, you know, glacial experience. It's got waves. Don't ask me how, because I don't know what a lake is.
It's a contained body of water, right?
Yeah, but, like, what is a wave? Is it the moon? Is it the moon?
I think the waves come – I think lakes traditionally are still if there's no wind around, and if there's wind around, it chops up the water.
Mm.
Like, if you were to put a hairdryer on a glass of water, you'd see some action.
Mm, you would see some action. Okay, that was Science Corner. I also loved
come at us, Lucy.
Another Tamir moment when he kept harping on about this, which he talked a lot about in his interviews as well, this technique using like a bunch of ferns upside down to put into the middle of the lake and it catches little crays that get
stuck.
This
is my favourite. This is where I absolutely hooted out loud in my living room. This is my favourite scene of the whole goddamn thing.
So Laura goes out and everyone's like, yes, of course, Thomas, you know, sage wisdom, we'll take out this thing. Laura has a very difficult looking swim in the cold. She looks very puffed and knackered.
Very choppy. Very
and then
choppy.
Tommy just says something like, he's like, I don't even know if that works, something like that.
And Laura, I don't know if she could have heard what he said from where she was, but you could see that she knew what he said, even perhaps just by the body language.
Amazing.
That she'd just absolutely been taken for a ride. And it wasn't like he was trying to set her up. He's just like, oh, yeah, I don't really know. Something I heard maybe that it works. I don't know.
I love it. He's so mischievous. And when he, like, went out foraging for daisies to add to the rice, everyone's like, I'm good, thanks.
Funny. We're not allowed to bring almost everything, but we can bring vitamins. So we don't need your daisy vitamins.
And it's day one as well. And he's like, I'm going to strangle a rabbit. And everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, I feel like I blinked and then I looked up and he was beating something on. Was that a rabbit?
We did not see. And again, this is like, if you listen to our last Remember When about the very first season of CTI where you see Danny What's-His-Face strangle a chicken on TV, I just don't think we'd see that. That would be kept off cam or blurred out these days.
Yeah.
Who knows? True. Who knows what Tama Ichi has killed with his hands on the show?
Having just done that recap of that first season, seeing the camps and all the food and the utensils and things that they get given, I'm like, well, this is a life of luxury compared to what it was.
Is it?
Ago.
Well, I thought you were talking about your season.
I actually wasn't this time.
Yeah.
No. We also had all these same immunities. But it looks like a nice place to stay. It does look like a resort. Beautiful views of the lake.
Totally. Especially the, is it the Tohoto camp that has like a conversation pit lakeside?
Oh, I love the
like it looks beautiful.
Pit. It's like Love Island.
Yeah.
You with the fire pit, recoupling.
And the fire pits are, you know, they're like, they've got a gas thingamajig. Like, you know, there's no faffing. I myself managed to light the fire at Treasure Island simply by using one of those little fire lighter things.
So it's gas. There's a gas power thing. I must have told you that on it when we had to light our own fires in Fiji. It's a lot easier because we didn't have the weather to deal with like they did.
Mm.
But they forgot to give us matches, so we're trying to do like 2001 era Treasure Island, rubbing sticks together, creating flint and all that. And then we go past the other team at one point. We're on our way to a challenge and we're like, they've got their fire going. Oh, my God, Art Green's bloody, you know, done some magic trick and got the fire going. And then we're like, oh, did you guys not get your matches? And
I'm
like, fuck.
Oh, my God.
Like, production straight up forgot to give us our matches. And we spent like 30 minutes trying to get a fire going.
Forgot. Sounds like more class warfare to me,
It was Jane. Class warfare. Anyway, back to the present time.
Can we talk about that, the first individual challenge where they were balancing on those little sticks coming out of a wall? Because I was there for that. I witnessed that. I witnessed Matilda's, like, divine intervention of her standing on one foot, balanced with arms out, for what felt genuinely like about 20 minutes. And everyone was just sitting around like, what the fuck? Like, she went to another dimension that day. And I feel like, again, probably someone who's a bit not underrated, or, you know, people probably don't think she's got it in her. But this woman, she's like a hypnobirth girl, you know. Yeah. She does that kind of shit. She can use her mind as a weapon.
And you need that. You need that. Mel had it when she went into the elimination arena. She didn't take her eyes off her tower and she was so calm. And mm-hmm. that is so important in the elimination arena.
Mm-hmm.
Matilda also has got the benefit of old Husbo having been on the show twice. She'll have lots of inside information about how everything works. And she is playing an individual game.
Yeah.
100%.
And I love that. I love seeing that too. So early from her, and not in quite a matter-of-fact sort of way. Like, she's not apologising for it. So, and she doesn't seem particularly villainous. She's just sort of like, yeah, and ultimately I want to take out, I can't remember, was it when she wanted to take out Grant. Jazz, maybe? She's like, I want to get rid of Jazz because that will get rid of, you know, a competitor for me.
And then if we lose Grant, well, I think he's dispensable, basically.
Who's Grant, you know? Like, yeah. What's his name? Nobody knows.
What's his name? But, yeah, I do think it could bite her in the ass, though, because the problem with the way that she's approaching the game and kind of putting people into the ring who weren't expecting it, been there, is it freaks everyone out and it makes them realise you don't even Who was it that was saying she's clearly? I think it was Eli. Eli seems very onto, you know, he's very good at figuring people out. And he's like, Matilda is playing an individual game. This is after like one day. He's onto her. So if he builds up a good rapport with people and they realise that she's a real threat in that sense and that no one is indispensable to her, ultimately, they'll get rid of her.
Yeah, true. God, she's so good as well in the Kumara in a box. That was an amazing performance.
She was amazing at that.
God, I find that so confusing, that challenge. I'm always
think you get up there as the person asking questions and realise there's nothing that you can say that can, like, what can I ask you? Like asking, have you ever lied in your life? It's like, what's that got to do with the Kumara in the box? You know,
I do think a good tactic, and one that I feel like has been used before, which Matilda embraced, was when you say things that are like slightly rude to kind of just disarm everybody, like when she talked about the little furry knobs.
Yeah.
It's just kind of this thing that's like, it feels too specific and it feels funny, so your ring gets on board with you, and then she's like, surprise, there were no little furry knobs to be found.
She was very good, but at the same time, I thought the furry knobs was an overstep because I was like, I don't think they'd provide a slightly turning kumara for this. I don't think they'd provide a sprouting one. I think they'd just, you know, they'd buy one fresh off the shelf that morning.
Maybe they're chitting it. You have a chit. You know about chitting?
What's that? It's half of a chit-chat.
Go here. You know about chitting?
I think is it when you like splice the kumara? You're trying to grow another kumara?
Yeah,
Blair
yeah.
Strang knows about chitting and he's looking for the toilet.
Blair Strang is real funny on this show.
they're giving him, the production are having some fun here.
Yeah, he's great. I love his like funny blue glasses. I love how he just hates doing everything and how he genuinely seemed to think there was like a hotel that they would be going to every night.
This guy is definitely one of those characters I feel like hasn't actually watched the show.
Yeah.
He's just got the call up and went, hey, why not? Has had a very... He's not done any physical prep.
No, God, no.
He's not done any physical prep for the show. They're kind of like really highlighting how breathless he gets and how loud he's breathing in stressful situations. The yoga, I mean, that was full on though.
It was a lot.
Miriam's one-hour yoga session.
Miriam is another one of those people, watch your freaking backs. This woman is powerful.
She is.
And also intensely funny. When she was making fun of the other team, when they saw each other for the first time, she's like, holy hell, is it Mufti Day? There's just so many good, like, crack-up characters this season, I feel. I think it might be the most crack-up cast ever. Maybe after, you know, previous seasons where they've lost people too early or lost... You know, comedians, they're like, let's just get all the narrators all the time. I mean, Turia Schmidt-Pekia, when she was trying to guess who would be on the other team and she, like, convinced herself that Taika Waititi was going to be there.
She's just going to spend the whole time auditioning for him.
Yeah, it's just got a really, really good energy to it. It cracks me up.
So we have Matilda is our kaihotu, and we have Jordan on the other team. I think what you're saying about everyone being really funny and fun and night, it just highlights how out of place Jordan's personality is here. Mm. And you can see as he's having his very serious conversations, people like Miriyama and Eli are exchanging glances and trying really hard not to crack up, like they're in primary school and the teacher's trying to give a very serious lesson about reproduction or something, and really, really struggling with it. So he's kind of really standing out to me as potential. I had said Steve Price last week. Steve Price just seems like a lovely, lovely man.
He's a honey. I'm sorry. Cute. I love Steve Price. He's also, and then another thing that's quite different to this season, I guess is sort of Steve and Jordan are both quite, I don't know, athletic, but there's not a lot of the kind of, you know, the big alpha muscle Art Green, you know, Jonah Fahu, you know, like ripped workout kind of people. Yeah. And I do think that kind of changes the dynamic again when it's like it becomes much more of a social game.
And it becomes also looking at, you know, we've seen, I feel like, a much more even spread of talents and things across the two teams in these challenges. You know, they've each won one. You know, with Tama, who took out the, for his team, he took out the stamping on the plank.
Oh, did you cry at this part?
Cried. I mean, any other team were crying. Like, it was so beautiful. And then what was just, like, adorable was him basically being like, you know, I really surprised myself, and, you know, him being proud of himself. And it's so funny that this show does this to you, because also Steve Price, I'm sorry, he has been captain of the Warriors. He's been playing league all his life. He is a natural-born leader who is allowing – I mean, I'm not saying he's like doing her a favor or anything, but, you know, he's like not once kind of made the noises about like I should be leader or anything like that that I was predicting.
Mm.
And then he just uses his brute strength to hold this trough of water up. He wins it. He could do it all day. Totally looked like he could do it all day.
Yeah.
And then afterwards he's just like, I'm just so proud I was able to do that for my team. Like, you're 2 days into the island. You have achieved all this shit in your life. And this is what this game does to you. It takes this silly little game and turns it into something so important to you in that moment. Like, I felt like he had just taken the Warriors for their first ever NRL victory in that moment. And he was just like, I'm just so happy to be able to do this for this group of people who've worked so hard since we all met 2 days ago.
It's also nice to see people crying because they're happy.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, I feel like we don't necessarily see that so early on the show as well. Like, and even reflecting on the Super Tees, that actually some of those tears that we saw were happy tears. Yes. We just didn't know.
Matilda's tears were happy tears.
Exactly. I mean, oh, we haven't even talked about James Masterpick, our friend in the villa. I mean, he gets a little bit stressed and has a little cry when his name's sort of getting thrown around for the elimination challenge, because Matilda's got it in her head that he's good at puzzles for
some
reason.
This is what happens. If you are not muscular, you are good at puzzles.
Mm.
If you are not the person who can do all the physical stuff, you are good at puzzles. That's just how people make the divide.
Yeah.
There's the athletes and the puzzlers.
I know, I felt for James, but James has also had an incredible first week. I mean, when he's I forget his direct quotes, but he's just sort of calling everyone like, you're a little bitch. Like,
he's swearing
I want to
lot.
Be a little shit, you know?
Yeah. He's swearing a lot. I love him. I love him and Tama going off for, you know, a little wander. And Tama's like reflecting on his, you know, I like his hair.
That's right.
I think that if we can develop this unlikely friendship between these two, because just visually it's fantastic to see them walking along beside each other, but just in terms of their personality, you know, everything about them and where they've come from is so different.
Exactly.
And we love seeing these unlikely friendships on the show.
Well, to quote Duncan Grieve, this is New Zealand. You know, like, this is our utopia, is putting all these people together and being like, here's actually who we are, you know. We could be very different, but we're all on a treasure hunt of life.
We've got some very valuable narrators in this season. James is one of them. Toria, as you've pointed out, is fantastic. Courtney.
Oh, Courtney's hats. Can we talk about her, like, lime green kind of Billy Porter tasseled sombrero? I think she looks incredible.
Yeah.
I love her. I mean, she was the one who said, I think, in her first interview,
she bought 8 hats with her.
She's not prepared for anything apart from the attire.
Yeah. And who else was a really good narrator?
narrator.
I was rolling. I was
getting my Tereo in there.
Southland Alves.
Well, we've got Laura Daniel as well, who's had some great moments.
There's one other key one. Did we say Eli?
Oh, we haven't said Eli yet. And Eli is also bringing a little bit of like a little bit of fans versus faves energy in that he's sort of like, he's doing it like you see on TV and this is happening like it is on TV, which is always great. You know, he's one of us.
He's watched the show is what we get from there, which is great. It's always helpful. It can help him go far.
There was a weird thing, back to Blairstream briefly. In the end of that trough challenge where it was Nika Four and Steve Price holding those troughs, and Blair Strang was like, it was amazing. It was like watching Black Adam versus Superman.
Wait, what was that?
Huh?
What's Black Adam?
It's just not what you would say in that moment. Black Adam was this weird, was it Marvel that came out?
It was a DC movie that The Rock made.
The Rock was Black Adam.
It wasn't critically well received, and was the series that was planned was cancelled almost as soon as it came out.
So are we asking why he used Black Adam versus almost any other superhero?
I mean,
superhero?
The natural one is obviously Batman versus Superman. Like, that's just right there. And again, just Blair Strang being a freaking weirdo. I love it.
Maybe Blair Strang is really deep into the superhero universe where he knows things about Black Adam that we don't know, that he is, like, connecting with Nick.
Yeah, he's shading Nick.
Maybe he's a super fan of, you know, maybe that's stuff we yet to learn. Blair Strang has not been in our public consciousness for a long time, so we've much to learn about him.
This is true. And he was kind of right because, you know, Nick was a flop in that challenge. He was like Black Adam. Steve romped home.
Steve absolutely owned that. I'm loving the thing with Tame. I feel like we're starting to see something they need to, they've done successfully in the last couple of seasons and they need to continue, is have this iconic character who brings something really completely different to the game. Mm-hmm. We've had it with Susan Devoy twice in a row. She's no way anything like Tama Iti, but she is an iconic character who brought something to the game that had been unknown. And then this is a very different version of that. But I think it works really, really well because it kind of makes everyone else in there check themselves. You know, like there's just a different energy that it brings rather than just a whole bunch of kind of mostly contemporaries.
Totally. Yeah, and I honestly think a big part of that is age as well, getting people who are older. And, yeah, I mean, Tame in particular brings this, like, incredible, like, genuine, true icon status, but also just a total, like, irreverence, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, balancing two things all the time that everyone's like, I can't believe he's on my team, but also he's sort of, like, trolling them and making them
executing in a completely different way, but that's what Susan Devoy brought as well, because she doesn't care.
Exactly.
They don't sort of care about what anyone's going to think of them out the back of this. They really do bring their true selves. They have some fun with it. They play with it.
Yeah, it's just great. So who have we lost? So we lost Grant first.
Yeah, that was really sad because I was scared that he was going to be the villain when he talked about being an awkward guy. Mm. You know, you assume actors are all very gregarious and chatty, and he's like, I'm actually a very awkward person. My biggest fear coming here was going to be those first few days getting to know people. And I know I'll be fine. I'll come out of my shell ultimately, but I just need to get through this first few days, which was just very sad words in retrospect.
I really felt for him. Like, I feel like good on him for actually talking about that stuff and, like, kind of leaning into it because, you know, anyone who kind of suffers from social anxiety or feels awkward in groups is like, it's quite an embarrassing thing to admit. You know, like, it feels very vulnerable to talk about that sort of stuff that you might not be as socially adept as all the other celebrities when you're also a celebrity. So I really respected him for both talking about that and the show for putting it in because again, it's one of those, like, just totally different perspectives and experiences that you don't normally see from anybody, really.
And one of those things that is beautiful that comes out of this show that, like, we actually think about afterwards and talk about afterwards, even though Grant is the first person to go home. Like, he still made a little impact here.
Yeah.
I knew Grant sort of a little bit many, many years ago when he was starting out with Rhys Darby. And they were both were doing coming up in comedy at the same time. Their careers have gone in, you know, two different places.
Mm.
But He's a really funny guy. Yeah. Like, he is exceptionally funny. He can hold a room. He can hold a stage. And I feel really disappointed that I know, like he said, he's aware that he would have come to that point once he felt a bit more comfortable. It's a shame he sensed, I think, that people weren't really giving him the opportunity to get there as well. They're just sort of assuming he wanted to be left alone when clearly he was never going to be the person to push himself into the chat. Yeah. He would have loved to have been invited. I think Matilda forgetting his name probably didn't help. And then you've got this typical, beautiful, successful blonde woman who's the leader of your team. Oh, no, she's a bit brunette at the moment,
brunette,
actually.
Yeah, yeah.
In the show, yeah. Who's the team captain, forgetting your name. And it just feels like late 90s teen high school, you know. Like,
oh, and if you're like an awkward person who lives as a social outcast, that happening is like your worst nightmare. You know, that confirms everything you've ever thought about yourself and all your doubts and everything. I'm like amazed he even held it together after that. Yeah. I would have been walking into the lake.
So I feel like that was all kind of like actually quite a significant elimination. I was annoyed. Who was he up against? Jazz. I was annoyed at how much Jazz featured in the Super Tease, because as soon as those two walked into the elimination, I was like, well, Grant's going home, because there's heaps of scenes of Jazz that I haven't seen yet.
I don't know if we saw much more in the Super Tease. It wasn't in the first week. Like, she's already had a medical event during that. Was it during the trough challenge? She sort of collapsed and needed air and a blanket, which was quite stressful. And her quote about
Grant's
the TikTokers.
Grant's gone by then, though. Grant's already gone by then. So she hadn't had the medical event.
True. Oh, yeah, he was the first, of course. And then there was... I'm sad to lose Megan Alatini, I gotta say.
I know, she was proving to be like a good commentator as well.
Yeah, she was awesome. When she was talked about, like, she ate a deer's penis, I was like, this woman needs to stick on this show for as long as possible.
She ate an eyeball, and I'm like, we know someone else who ate an eyeball quite recently, and that man's a legend. So, you know, it immediately elevated her.
That's what you have to do in our books.
Yeah. No, it was... We won't, but you have to.
Yeah.
It's those sort of like gone too soons. And I think we do this every season. We lament what we didn't get from those people. And then by the end of the show, we've forgotten that they were ever even on it.
Totally. And it always feels like it happens so fast.
It does.
You know, like, you're like, oh, I'm just getting to know her.
Yeah.
And she's gone.
And I feel bad for their experience. Like, it's just not enough time on the island. You know, it's just not.
Yeah, it's true. Mel got a special clue, maybe our first clue towards the whereabouts of Pearl, Bo, and Bic. Crimson, I am born. Yellow, I dance. Ebony, I die.
I don't know what that means.
Is it wheat? Is it some kind of flower? It's got to be something natural, surely.
What's born crimson?
Me?
is it the sun? Is it
Ebony,
comes up
I
red
die.
Sunlight, see sunrise in the morning? I mean, it's probably not. Probably not, but that's the closest I can think of whilst on the spot right this second.
It's just exciting. The hunt is underway already,
The hunt is underway.
And we know that there's this crazy scroll coming. Blair Strang is going to play a crazy scroll at
that
some
we've
point.
Never had before. It's probably like the key to the crew toilet, or
and he'll be so happy.
You get a night in a hotel, Blair.
Pull up Black Adam on the iPad. He'll be in there for hours.
Oh, so much good stuff. So great to be back. We're seeing alliances. Courtney and not Courtney and Jazz. No, there was Courtney and Jazz and Eli. Eli and Courtney. And then, Eli and Jazz, and then bringing Courtney, I'm already confused.
And then Jazz and Courtney with the mind to bring them together. Jazz
bring
and Courtney's alliance discussion was very strange,
It was
thought.
Very strange.
It was
and then
very
it sounds
sort of
like,
awkward.
It looks like in the teaser they're going to bring James in as well. So it's going to just turn into a classic
Comedians.
Huge alliance that's basically most of your team. But, oh, no, they're on other teams.
They're
no,
on other what, teams.
Oh, who's
They're going
James?
Cross.
Oh, they're crossing.
I think it looks like at a challenge or something James and Laura chat to.
Yes.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah. And that's kind of, is that it for alliances? There's some, again, Eli's thinking about Jordan and Matt, you know, and some of Jordan's strategic gameplay.
Oh, yes, because they have the long-lasting Studio 2 alliance.
Yeah. When there was the Captain's Coup, which is something we haven't seen before very, very early on, that Matilda one, that was the Kumara in a box. But Jordan put up Matt as, you know, potentially taking out the captaincy in this challenge that could advantage him.
Mm.
And that was something that Eli picked up on. So I think keep a close eye on Eli because he's keeping a close eye on everyone's strategy.
Totally. And also a close eye on Matt Gibb, because as we saw in that challenge versus Matilda, he was like really not wanting to give up. He really wants to do things
in this
game.
I really like Matt Gibb. I think that this show has the potential to do real favours for him in terms of like public perception, A, as a forgotten, should have been bigger than he
never
was.
Forgot, but also, never forgot. I never forgot.
Never forgot. You're of the age. I never forgot because I'm of his, I'm like, of his age.
Right.
You're of an age where he was like someone you looked up to. I'm of an age where I was like, you're his age.
My biggest fear that is not something we've entertained yet is what if Matt Gibb is the villain? You know? We haven't seen any flickers of it, but it's just like that would be an incredible turn.
That would be awful. I mean, we mentioned it before that we've been told that we'll be shocked by who it is based on our assessment of the cast announcement.
Mm.
But we did say Jordan was a really nice guy and all of that, so it still has the potential to be him and for us to have been shocked in that way. If it's Mick, and then Grant Lobbin as well was another one that, like, we see was one that I was worried. So I'm basically worried about all these people that I'm like, such a great guy, and then we're shocked.
It's like The Traitors.
It is like The Traitors.
The Traitors,
oh,
never left. I mean, Matt Gibb sliced his fingers open for the challenge when there was blood pouring down his arm. I was like,
it's not going to be Matt Gibb. He's not going to be the villain. It's got to be Jordan.
Because
I think that people are going to get sick of his seriousness, and there's probably going to be, he's going to feel upset that he's not being taken seriously when he's taking himself so very seriously and he's taking the game seriously and teamwork. You know, he might find out about a cross-team alliance and just feel like that's like treason.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of opportunities for him to spark off.
And I do think, although we haven't seen it yet, Tohoro was so pissed off in that challenge. You could see when Tamir was like doing his haka towards them, Laura Daniel was like kicking off in the background. You could tell she was so pissed off at Jordan for pouring water on them. Like, I'm sure all of that will bubble up. And now I'm even thinking in the super tease, when Eli says something like, we don't have to like him today, that could be about Jordan. That could be a mutiny. It could be the captain's coup. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's got to be Jordan. That was I felt disrespectful what he did in that challenge.
It was just weird. Like,
it was weird energy.
It was too intense and it wasn't funny or anything. You know, like, it wasn't even tongue-in-cheek. You know when they splash each other when they do the boat stuff and you're like, banter. That was not banter. It was psycho.
It's too early in the game to to renegade on your own without consultation with your team, making the other team lose in order for you to win. I know that sounds like how things should work, but he wasn't going for the win. He was going for their downfall.
Yeah.
And I just think it's way too early in the game when you're so far from the treasure to be making like such ballsy moves like that.
And it didn't even work, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's raining, mate. You're just pouring water on them.
And they have,
you know,
Steve Price.
Yeah.
Think about it. The one thing we haven't talked about as well is the charity challenges, which were actually surprised me that I loved them as well this week. I just thought they were good fun. It's good to see the sheep herding challenge with seen before. Was this one that you did?
No, the other team did. It was on my season though.
And hilarious because of the pairings, you know, and again because of these funny dynamics where you've got like Turiya being like, I'm not gonna knock over Tama Iti, then he immediately just shoulder barges her over. And then you've got the finale, which was between Steve Price and James Mustafick. It's just chaos. And I was like, respect to James, man.
And quite the setup with the sheep, you know, in terms of the set. And then the other team have like their whole entire set is six pieces of penne pasta and one piece of spaghetti.
That's right. Like, we blew all the budget on yoga balls. I'm sorry. But yeah, that was funny too, you know. That's also the kind of thing you can do at home, which is useful.
It is the kind. I know. I mean, I immediately thought, like, do I have the ingredients for me and Alex to be able to do, like, what's the chances that both of us have the ingredients to be able to do this on the pod today? And then No, I don't have pina pasta at home.
No, I've only got orzo. It's not going to work. But we got some funny body rolls from Nikifor. And
yeah, that was cool. And it was cool in the moment when he was like, why do they keep saying that? And he was like, all I was doing is like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. I can see it now. He seems lovely.
He does seem lovely. I still have a question mark.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
I don't know, just because there was that quote from him in the super tease where he says, I can't remember. He says something villainous. And again, he's sort of one of those people that maybe has less established relationships with everybody and perhaps less to lose in terms of like he's not the most famous person in the cast.
But he also doesn't really need to be for what he does either.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like his success doesn't ride on a massive sort of public following.
He's Simba, you know. He's Simba.
Like you
Simba
don't get
forever.
Much more famous than that, right?
Apart from Black Adam, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm so looking forward to seeing Blair Strang's journey on this show. I really am. It's one of those like little secret undercurrents that's probably not like the main storyline for me, but is very much one I'm keeping a close eye on and enjoying.
Yeah, and just funny to look at him, you know, just in the group, just in the background being so baffled and kind of like annoyed.
I just look at him and go, you dated your sister,
yeah.
You know? That's really hard to get past.
That's true. God.
Yeah. Not just to be clear for anyone who's not aware, not in real life, on Shortland Street.
That's true. That's
Bungie and Donna.
Good clarification.
And I think that was half.
Well, I don't know.
Wasn't
that
fine in the end?
I think it was fine. They got married and it was all good.
It was all good. One other thing I want to note before we wrap up is the Elimination Arena seems much more pared back than we've seen before. It's not in one location. We've seen the Elimination Arena in two different locations. So very much a movable bleacher type thing. It might
Yes.
I'm not sure why that is, a weather thing. I'm not sure. But you don't have like the fire going, you know, it just doesn't seem quite as
fire big. Hazard.
It's true.
It's middle of summer and all that weight. You can't be lighting a single flame.
That's true.
That was something they were very, very like.
Well, that's why they would have
had
the gas powered fire thing,
yeah.
Right?
And we had like a strict briefing about it and stuff because it was like, yeah, the whole place had got like a tinderbox.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Oh, touch wood. Goodness sake.
Touch it, but not with a flame, whatever you do. That would be dry as anything. But also they're doing the elimination challenges during the day, or, you know, it's daylight. It's like light till, I don't know, midnight in the South Island over summer or something.
Yeah, it? Yeah, it would have been actually. It was probably light until about nine, after nine.
Yeah.
So they can get
So we don't have
done.
That same gravity of it being nighttime. But still a great show. I'm not comparing to my season on the beautiful tropical island of Fiji. I'm just saying. It's still a very great show. It's different. It's different. And I'm learning to let go.
Yeah.
Of course, I jest. I'm fucking loving just watching it and not having to watch myself watch it. Like, it's so good just to be back.
Yeah, it's great. I'm sad I'm going to be away for the next few weeks. Are you going to replace me?
I don't know yet.
I'm worried.
To talk about. I mean, if Duncan is a no-show, I don't know what's going to happen.
I wonder if James would come on. James.
I feel like we can probably, we might be have a few special guests over the next few weeks.
What's
like
Grant Lobbin up to?
Not much. Not much. I mean, he can't give any spoilers, can he?
No, true. Oh, he's God. As in the dark as all of us.
Oh, God.
Exciting.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to our Substack. We have to actually, it's going to be weird because you will hear Alex's voice on some Remember Whens over the coming weeks, but Alex is for this more topical and timely side of the Real Pod that we do record fresh for you every week. Alex is leaving us.
Only for a bit. I'll be back before the end of the season. So
4 weeks?
My plan is to not listen to or watch anything and then arrive back cold and just see where we're at. And I'm so excited.
Oh my God. And
4 weeks from now.
Are you going to mainline it or are you just like when you get back?
I don't know. Look, I say this now, probably it'll be impossible for me to resist. I'll probably
really
listen
hard.
To the pod. But I'll be geo-blogged. I'm going abroad. I'm going abroad, for God's sake.
We have ways, Alex. We have ways and means.
Mm.
You know, you're still the heart and soul of the Real Pod.
It's very kind.
That means
we'll
you get to watch these things. We'll figure something out. We'll project it into space. We just need the Black Adam. No, he's not the one who produced into space. Actually, Batman, isn't it?
Superman.
So now I'm getting confused. Well, but Batman's got the bat signal. We got to wrap this up. It's ridiculous.
Get
this
out of here.
This is the longest outro ever. Thank you very much, Alex. We will miss you. We will do our best to keep the ship afloat. And we look forward to your return and just have the most amazing, amazing, amazing time away. Well deserved. Oh,
thank you, Jane. And enjoy Treasure Island.
Thank you. I will do. Thank you, TI here. Thank you, Corns. We love you.
From the Spinoff Podcast Network, you've been listening to The Real Pod, hosted by me, Jane Yee, along with Alex Casey and most of the time, Duncan Grieve. Our producers are Tiahe Butler and Samuel Robinson. Thanks for listening.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.